with Rick Scott. And,
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen is talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz. Your place for all things smooth. With the smoothest show on the internet radio, your host, the Jazz Queen.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. It is Sunday, August 9th, 2020. Welcome to the show, everyone. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on the link under Christian DeMasonis' picture, the little red bar link there, and that will bring you into the chat room where you will be joined by Joshin in Germany. Hey, Joshin, good to see you again, as always. The phone number here is 646-716-5485. We welcome your phone calls with any questions and or comments for my guest today, bassist Christian DeMasonis. Am I saying that right, Christian?
Oh, yes, you are. You got it right. Congratulations. I feel very, very special. I feel fantastic.
Thank you. So my guest today is bassist Christian DeMasonis. He's been playing the bass for over 40 years in a variety of genres, including heavy metal and rock. His solo debut release, They Call Me Big New York, is a collection of Latin, funk, soul, and rhythm and blues-infused original smooth jazz compositions. Christian, after 10 years, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
10 years of hard work just for you to give me a moment's time out of your busy, busy schedule. You do not understand, Terry. And I have followed you from the very beginning, back in the day when I had Groove School Band in 2010, when I played Lake Arbor Jazz and Blues Alley with Groove School, and I was deep, I was very, very well connected with a great friend of yours, Ron Jackson from the Smooth Jazz Ride. And I used to ask Ron, I used to say, Ron, how come I can't get a hold of Terry? I send her messages. I call her. I email her. I go on her. She hasn't even friended me. She won't even accept my Facebook friend request.
Oh my gosh.
For shame, for shame. Everybody knows your name now, Terry.
For shame. I hold my head down low. And I am ashamed, and I owe you a huge apology. I'm so sorry.
Oh no, it's really not about that. For me, being on your show is a sign of a lot of great things happening, a lot of hard work that has finally opened a bunch of new doors that I've been scratching the surface, trying my best to open. So. I really, really greatly appreciate it. Now, I am on your, while I'm talking to you on my phone, I'm actually on my iPad, and I'm on TalkingSmoothJazz.com, and I'm trying to find where, how do I see the chat room?
You have to click on the red banner on your picture, on the carousel, the slideshow.
Okay, the listen live, join the chat, okay. I just see it right now. I see it. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So now I am. Yes, it's taking me to the. Okay. So do I have to sign in to this Blog Talk Radio thing?
You don't have to. What will happen is you will appear as a guest in the chat room. If you want to appear, you know, under your name, then you would have to sign, set up an account. Yeah, but otherwise it's not required. You just show up as a guest in the chat room.
Okay. Well, I think I'm in. Hey, you know, I was born in 61, so I've got dinosaur DNA. So I'm trying my best. I just want to be able to respond to anybody who is with us today. So I'm doing my best here.
Okay. Oh, my God. That was so funny. I'm still laughing at that. That was hilarious. All righty. So I want to start, Christian, with how you got the name Big New York.
That only happened because I left New York. And because I left New York in 95, I moved from New York in 95 to Richmond, Virginia, to work at my brother's record store chain. We had a store chain called Willie's Records that started in Richmond, Virginia, but branched out all the way to Charlotte. We had about 18 stores in 2 years. We were the biggest, fastest growing urban record retail store chain in America. And, and I think coming from New York and going to the South, you know, and by the way, Richmond has always been a second home to me. They're really, really good to me. Everybody in Richmond, I have great memories with the folks in Richmond, and that's pretty much how I got my name. Some funny dude, a coworker of mine in the record store, was like, "Everybody give it up for Big New York," and that was it. It just took like white on rice. Just wouldn't leave me alone. Even my mom prefers to call me. You would think your mother, your own mother, would want to call you by your birth name, but she doesn't, man. She goes, "Oh, it's the Big New Yorker on the phone, everybody. Hey." You know, I'm like, "Okay. Okay, that's me, the Big New Yorker." Okay.
That's funny. Are you an only child?
No, I have older brother and sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm the baby. Right. I'm the baby in the family.
Aww. Okay, baby. All right. So I mentioned that you've been playing for over 40 years. Why did you choose the guitar over bass? I'm sorry, why did you choose the bass over guitar?
Bass over guitar. Yeah. You know what? It's weird. All I have to tell you with that is that I was kind of searching for a musical outlet. I always was a fan of music, and I was fortunate enough. You know, Terry, the great thing about getting older and living longer on this planet is that we can go back as far as our earliest memories and remember what music was to us. And for me, music, my mom used to give me, like, you know, pocket change, and I would go in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, I'd go to on Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn and go to the local record store shop and buy 45s. And the today's audience, I mean, if you were born after, 1990, you don't even know what a 45 is anymore. So for whatever reason, I tried drums in the very beginning. I wasn't good at it. And then I just left music alone as far as trying to learn an instrument. And then what happened in high school was I went to my first concert, my first rock concert, and I was in the front row and I saw Kiss. And for whatever reason, the isolated, distorted bass tone of Gene Simmons stood out for the first time. I actually heard the bass instrument. And I think, I'm assuming right now, but I think a lot of your listeners would be like, why wouldn't you say Larry Graham or something like that? But the reason, Larry and Stanley and all these great bass players kind of came after the fact that Gene Simmons was the one who opened the door for me as far as the bass. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Now, are you self-taught? Yeah.
I was in the beginning, but I did go to school. I went to a school in Hollywood, California, that was very, very unique, one of a curriculum and environment. It was called Bass Institute of Technology, and I went there right after high school in 1979. And basically, what it was kind of like a 4-year Berkeley kind of program, and it was like fit into a 1-year thing, I was surrounded by some of the greatest musicians of that time. Some of them were my instructors, actually. So I have to say that, I learned a lot in the 1 year of being in that school. And then I went on my own and took from whatever knowledge I learned in that 1 year. But, yeah, that's pretty much, I spoke about this last night, actually. I was in an interview that, by the way, you were so kind. It tells me a lot about your personality that you actually tuned in to this other interview I was on in Melbourne, Australia last night. I saw your name in the chat room, and I was very impressed. Let me tell you, Queenie, queen of soul, queen of jazz, the queen of rock and roll, whatever you call yourself, you're a good person. You are a good person. I like that. You know, and that's what I was telling him, the same kind of story that, you know, how this all is universal. Our music is universal, and how we aspire to create our own stories through music.
Right, right. So this Bass Institute of Technology, this is a 4-year program, but you were only there for 1 year.
No. It was a 1-year program, but they basically took the approach of a 4-year curriculum and squashed it into 1 year. So, you know, and the instructors that were there are all legendary. I had Tommy Tedesco was one of my instructors, Pat Martino, who is really considered to be the godfather of jazz guitar. You know, he's one of the last living legends, and I hope he sticks with us for another 10, 20 years, because his story is incredible. But he was one of the reasons why I graduated from the place in the first place. And another thing, he just reminded me when I was speaking last night, that a lot of my style, my slap style, was developed because of meeting Louis Johnson from the Brothers Johnson, and Abraham Laboriel, and also Tim Bogart, you know, who's a rock, who was really famous back in the, I guess he made it famous in the late 60s with his band Vanilla Fudge, and then he played with Jeff Beck for years, and he's been in a lot of projects, but yeah, that pretty much shaped me. There's no doubt about it. 1 year shaped me a lot.
And you were 18 when you attended this Bass Institute of Technology. You were 18 years old?
I was 18, yeah.
Were you the youngest to graduate?
I was one of the youngest to graduate, and I was in the second class. I always thought that I was in the first graduating class because the school wasn't that old at that time. It started in 76, and it started only as a guitar platform. It was called Guitar Institute of Technology, GIT. And then they slowly progressed the second tier. They created bass, and they went on to create PIT, which is, and KIT, which is keyboard and percussion. And then a company bought them out, and now they're still around, but they're under the moniker Musicians Institute. That's how you find them. If you Google Musicians Institute, they're still in Hollywood. They're not in the same building that I was in, but I still believe they're on Sunset Boulevard. I was on the building that I went to was on Hollywood Boulevard, and I was really a stone throw away from Grauman's Chinese Theater and the Hollywood Bowl, which pretty much I learned how to drive a car in the Hollywood Bowl parking lot, believe it or not. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, 18 years old. Terry, can you imagine what it would be like to be far from home at 18?
Pretty awesome.
Pretty cool.
So what did you do career-wise? How did your, after you left the Bass Institute of Technology, how did your career get started after that?
I immediately took a gig that was offered to me. I didn't know it was going to be a contracted gig. It was an opportunity to play the military circuit in Hawaii, on the island of Oahu. And it was my first professional gig because I got paid a salary, and I did about three nights a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, five sets a night. I think the last set was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I made a living, and that was my first taste of being a professional. And that was 1980, late 80, early 81.
Okay, and so I mentioned earlier in the intro that you've played a variety of musical styles, including metal and hard rock. So which one of those came first?
Well, I've been a, you know, I'm a, I really consider my DNA to be hard rock, heavy metal. And when people hear that, they, some people get it, but a lot of people don't, who only kind of grew up on R&B and funk and even jazz, and they don't see the connection, man. But, you know, I was a rocker, and the music I was playing in at that time on that gig was hard rock covers, and, you know, and it was funny about that reality. Now, I'm not sure, Terry, if you're familiar with this movie called This Spinal Tap. Are you familiar with that movie?
No.
Okay, this was a movie that was made. It was actually a parody about a mock hard rock heavy metal band, and it really mirrored my life back then, because I remember actually playing to a showcase of a bunch of rowdy military personnel, and all they wanted us to play were the typical classic rock hits of that time. They wanted us to play the Tom Petty songs and the Lynyrd Skynyrd songs and all that, and we were playing heavy metal. We were playing Judas Priest, and you're a big Black Sabbath fan, Terry, right? I know you do. You're a big you like hard rock, Terry?
No, I do not. Not a fan.
Oh, I got you. I told you, be prepared, Terry. I'm going to send you zingers. All right. So you are going to have fun with me, because I'm going to introduce you to a whole nother world. It's going to be like we're going to be on that magic carpet ride in Aladdin, a whole new world. It's really going to blow your mind. But yes, I was playing hard rock and heavy metal. And I'm going to quiz you at the end of our interview on remembering some of the bands that I, and the music that I played. So remember Judas Priest. Remember that name, Judas Priest. I used to play Judas Priest songs. Yes, remember that.
Okay, so you mentioned Judas Priest. Now Maxwell plays with Judas Priest. Were you guys playing together?
Maxwell who? The singer Maxwell?
Yeah.
Who? No, no. You, I'm going to get you now, girl.
Am I thinking about who?
You're thinking about Maxie Priest.
Maxie Priest, okay. Well, it's close.
Maxie Priest is, and you know who else plays with Maxie Priest? Another one of your friends, J.J. San Severino.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Guitarist, yes.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, no. But I'm going to let you off the hook, because I realize that you don't have a hard rock background. So whoever's listening to you right now, their minds are being blown. They're being exploded, because they're probably like, why is Terry talking to this guy? But believe me, I've got some great stories. So yes, so that was the beginning of my career. That was me making a salary, making a living, playing hard rock music. And I did go further with that. I actually went on to, I was in a band called Twice Shy in the 80s that was surrounded by the big, big hard rock names of the 80s, the MTV generation of hard rock. So, yeah, so that's my background.
So what drew you to smooth jazz?
When I was in the record stores at Willie's Records, we played four kinds of music. We played, basically hip-hop was what our bread and butter was. So we would do in stores with people like Jay-Z and you know, big names in the hip-hop world. You know, for me, I really didn't relate to hip-hop naturally. I dug the bass and drums of it, but I didn't really relate to it. But you know, what I did relate to as far as the urban music scene was I loved gospel. I loved especially bands like the Sensational Nightingales and the Canton Spirituals and Luther Barnes and really the home Southern style gospel, you know. I mean, oh my God, I could listen to that music all day. So I related to that, and I also related to smooth jazz, which we played in the stores. We played smooth jazz in the stores in the morning time and on the weekends.
So that's how I
gravitated as a musician. You know, I felt like heavy metal and hard rock wasn't offering enough for me anymore, and I just had to keep on pushing and go further with what my calling was. And I had no idea that smooth jazz and funk and Latin music were going to really come out of me like they have, you know. If you would have met me in 79 and said, do you know in 40 years in your future you're going to be on a talk show with Terry Scott, the Queen of Jazz, talking about smooth jazz, I'd be like, you must be doing drugs or something. You come on, please. No way. But yeah. But it's true. It's true.
So Joshin in Germany in the chat room says, I see we are close to renaming the show Talking Heavy Metal. I don't think
He's
so, Josh.
He's funny. Josh, man, that's right. Go ahead. Play some, look in your vinyl and see if you've got some Scorpions. He's from Germany, man. He's got to have some Scorpion records.
Also, let me welcome to the chat room Cool Jazz Cafe. He says to tell Christian it's Dave Oz. So welcome to the chat, to the show, Cool Jazz Cafe, Dave Oz. Happy to have you.
Hey, Dave, thank you for being here. I am on the page, but I don't see you because I'm obviously not doing whatever I'm doing. I'm not doing right. But thank you. You know, Terry, please, you know, anybody who's in the chat room, definitely let me know who they are so I could say hello. And Dave is a friend of mine and plays my music. I'm very appreciative of people like Dave and, of course, you, Terry. Like I said, I've been a fan of yours, Terry, for 10 long years.
He's never going to let me live this one down.
Could you imagine? It's like me knocking on your door, you know, like, knock, knock, knock. Can I come in? Can I come in? And you, like, call the police. Call.
Oh, my goodness. Ollie J has popped into the chat room as well. Hey, Ollie, good to see you. Thank you for joining us. All right, let's get into some music. Let's talk about this CD, which I am loving. They call me Big New York. So tell me about this, and we'll get into some music.
Okay. The CD actually is a seven-year journey for me. I started back in 2013, which was, I guess, the end of Groove School. We departed, and Groove School was a band I really put a lot of heart and soul into, and I was hoping that we were going to make a difference and make our mark, you know, and it didn't stick together. I had some great musicians with me, by the way, in that band. I had Laurie Williams with me, who sang on the album and who performed with Groove School a number of shows, and so anyway, the band went their own way, and I found myself having to start over. So I went to my brother-in-law who produced the Groove School record limited edition, and I asked him. I said, I don't know what to do, man, but you know, what. Can we, you know, are you interested about, you know, writing some music with me? And he had a bunch of tracks, and from the tracks that he made, I picked certain songs that, you know, I thought that we can build on together. And the first one was Good Old Days, and Good Old Days had a really cool swing, kind of like a slanky kind of vibe to it at first. What you hear on the album is the tempo sped up a few beats per minute, but the original version was a little slower and more like a laid back version to it. And I released it independently, and I put it out there, and I did get some love from it. And then I kept on pushing on. I released, my next song was Latin Jive Redux. That came out in 2017, and that did very well for me. And then the following was Spirit, and then Throb. And so I already had, what, four or five recorded songs already for the album. Mm-hmm. So so I told my brother-in-law, I said, let's finish it. Let's try to finish this project and get it done in 2019 was the goal, you know. It took me longer than expected because I was hoping to have it done by 2000 and the whole album by 2018. But, you know, you can't force God's plan, right? So the album is really, I'm very, very, really proud of it. I mean, it's everything that I really wanted the world to hear about, you know, how I digested these memories of music in my soul and the extensions and how they permeated, you know, into these really 10 individual kind of, you know, I mean, the influences there are a little scattered, but Terry, you should, I have a question for you, Terry. Now, you said you listened to the whole album.
Yes.
Were you able to enjoy the album with a, like, did you feel that there was a flow entire album, or did you feel, and you know, how'd you feel about that?
I love the CD. I love the album. And you mentioned Good Old Days, so I'm going to play that one first because that song is everything for me. That is the jam. That's my jam, Good Old Days. And I posted that on my Facebook page that I love that song. But I love the CD. I also like Sweet Night. I love Miss Galen's voice on that. She has a beautiful voice. So I'm definitely going to play that one as well. Yeah, gorgeous voice. And Spirit, I love Spirit. Throb and Big Talk. I mean, I love the CD. This is one of those CDs where I have a hard time picking what to play, you know. But Good Old Days definitely is a favorite of mine. So I'm going to go ahead and play that. But you have to tell me about Rob because he is killing it on the saxophone.
Well, you know, I met Rob Maletek, who you're going to hear more about this year because he is he's actually has a single that's coming out, produced, I believe, by Preston Glass, I think, is his producer who works with Kenny G and the like. And so I'm excited. I think that song is coming out at the beginning of the year. I think the world is going to know more about Rob. But Rob Maletek was the first musician that I met when I moved from Richmond to come up to Washington, D.C., because I moved from, sorry, to follow my origin, I left 95 from New York to Richmond, and then from Richmond to Washington, D.C., I left in 2000, and I took a job in another record store company called Kent Mill, and Rob was promoting his album. It was his first album, and he was promoting it, and he performed some of the songs in store in downtown D.C. on F Street. And I actually asked him, I said, can we do a little jam together? You know, and I'll bring him a little bass amp and whatever. And, I mean, he was gracious enough. He didn't know who I was. He didn't check out my credentials. He could have really, really given me a hard time and said no, but he allowed me to play with him, and we've been friends since. And he is going to be on all of my records, I hope. I mean, I love him. Great person. Great person.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in to Talking Smooth Jazz, my guest today is bassist Christian Day Masonis. His new release is called They Call Me Big New York. If you'd like to call in with a question or a comment for Christian, the phone number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. From the CD, this is Good Old Days. Man, that is the jam right there. That is Good Old Days from Christian Damasonis' new release, They Call Me Big New York. Josh in the chat room said, I like that, and for a hard rocker, that's smooth like a lullaby.
Oh, man, thank you very much. I was just about to say, I was going to ask you, Terry, did you hear the heavy metal influences in Rob's sax playing?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. You didn't hear that, did you? Go ahead.
Who else is playing on this record on Good Old Days?
Eddie Bacchus Jr., who's a good friend of mine also. Eddie actually gets co-writing credit on his song because he wrote the bridge melody, that ba ba da ba da, and the remastered version. I actually have that higher in the mix, hopefully I'll put out that remastered version this year. I probably don't think I'll do a radio promo on it. I think I'll just send it as a gift to my followers or something like that as an extra song. Who else? Oh, you know, Jay Jones, who lives in the DMV area, he played live drums on that. I also had Mike Gamble, who is a local DMV guitar player and a great, great friend of mine. He played on that track. And the one and only Elliot Levine, who, in my opinion, if you don't know who Elliot is, he is a very charismatic keyboardist out of the Baltimore area that has played with so many people. I guess he's really popular playing with Heatwave. He's been a keyboardist for Heatwave for the last, I guess, 5 years or so. So, those are the guys.
Okay.
Those are some of the cats. You know,
okay.
Terry, I've got 25 artists on my album. Did you know
I believe that?
That.
I'm looking at the list of I'm looking at a partial list of artists, so I believe that.
Yeah,
I believe that. So I want to get into the next song, Sweet Night, which is another favorite of mine. The vocals are done by Deborah Gale, and she has such a beautiful voice. Tell me about this song.
You know, that song has an interesting backstory because it was a song that was originally started as a track that my brother-in-law and producer Christopher Valentine came up with. And we worked on that song for a long time. I actually wrote the melodies to the song, and I had a weird vision about the song. I almost thought of it as a movie at first. Mm-hmm. And I got the inspiration for the song from a movie I saw called The Shape of Water. Which
yes,
was,
I saw that.
So I dug my idea of the song was like an aquatic lover, so to speak, like somebody falls in love with somebody underwater, or whatever, and they take them away to a new world, something like a fantasy thing like that. So when I presented that song to Deborah, she didn't relate to that. So I told her it had to be, the lyrics have to have words of hope, words of love, words of commitment, things like that from there. And so she wrote the lyrics to the song and kind of changed up my original melody a little bit. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've told this to her, and I've told it to many people. I did not like this song. To me, it was my least favorite song on the album. I didn't want to put it out. Deborah kept on asking me to please continue forward with the song. And last but not least, what happened, how the song really made it was two things. One, my wife told me, you know what, the rhythm of this song, there's something wrong with the rhythm of the song and why it doesn't work. And we actually had it more like a, it almost sounded like the original version was more techno, actually, kind of. It had a faster rhythm. And so my wife said, don't you know that song by Maze, Golden Time of Day, you know? Is that the title by Maze, Golden
Time of Death, I think so. Yes.
Yeah. So I researched that song and I felt the pulse of that song, and I asked my percussion player Curtis to change the rhythm, and so it was a combination really of that and really what my brother did to put it all together, because the final version had all of these new ideas on it and also had something that I really, really liked, which was the flute playing at the end, which is I really love the sound of the flute, and Arch Thompson, who is a local DMV musician in this area, provided that. And now I'll tell you one last secret, and then you could play the song. The ending of that song, so after the vocals are done, the whole outro of that song, do you know originally it was all bass?
Okay.
It was like four or five layers of bass guitar, bass playing the rhythm, the chords, the melodies, everything. And I was pretty taken back by it, because I was like, oh, my God, this is really cool. You know, I mean, not everybody's going to hear this. Only bass players are going to be able to pick up on all these little intricate parts that I was weaving in the song. But my brother really, really did a great job on it, and it finally made it. And you know what? I guess I'm glad it finally made it, because people like you relate to it, and that's what it's all about.
It's a nice song. Deborah Galen has a beautiful voice, and so the song is called Sweet Night, and here it is.
Reach out.
That is a beautiful track. That is called Good Old Days, featuring Deborah Galen on vocals. And Josh in the chat room says, beautiful. I like that voice. I totally agree. I'm glad you put that on the CD. It's really nice.
I have to correct you. You mean it's called Sweet Night, not Good Old Days. Sweet Night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Good Old Days? My apologies. Sweet
yes.
Night.
Yes.
Okay, Sweet,
Sweet
Night.
Night
is called.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm glad that you related to the song. Like I said, I'm just glad that it came out. And out of all the songs on the album, that was actually the toughest and hardest song to actually accomplish. And yeah, I think you would think that the other ones might have been more of a challenge, but that one was really, really tough. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. So now, listen, Christian, we have 14 minutes left. I want to know if you can hang for at least maybe another 30 minutes because I have some more questions.
Yeah, I'm yours. You know, while you were playing that, Blog Talk Radio has they have something against me because I used to belong to this platform years ago, and I must have lost my password or whatever. So I tried to get into this chat room like three different times, and I'm probably going to have to ask my wife to help me once we get off, and I'm going to have to reestablish my relationships with Blog Talk Radio so I can actually have a profile and I could start delving into your episodes because I'm looking in here and it says that you have 725 episodes.
I think it's more than that, actually. I've been doing this for 12 years, so I think it's more than that. But who knows? This is how Blog Talk keeps track of everything, but I believe it's more.
You know, I remember a while ago that I think you put out a post on Facebook and you were expressing concerns whether or not you were going to carry on doing this. Is that correct?
Yes.
I remember something like that?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
And I remember, I'm pretty sure I responded in a post to that saying that you can't give up, that, you know, you can't. Don't give this up. I mean, for whatever you have to do, because it, you know, you're really a warrior when you think about it. Because all of us who love this music, we're really getting very, very little support from the areas where you would think we'd get more support of. We're almost like, you know, we're on our own, so to speak. Ever since the format, the CD 101.9 smooth jazz format ended back, you know, we were all scattered, and even though it gave us that opportunity to create our own platforms like you have, we really need people like you. Otherwise, what's going to happen is it's going to be just very, very, very few people who are going to fly the flag of instrumental music. And it may actually die out as an art form. It may you may actually see it die out, which is a scary thing. It's the worst. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being the queen. I'm going to have to come up with a new. I'm going to write a song called the Urban Cleopatra, so something like that, man. I have to think of. I got to think of something, man. You know, I'm going to think of something and dedicate it to you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that, Christian. Thank you very much. Yes, there was a time when I seriously thought about retiring the show because sometimes I get burnt out, just to be honest with you. You know, sometimes I get burnt out. But when I see an artist release a CD or I think, oh, I want to interview this person, then I can't retire because I want to interview this person. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. So now you've been in this business for over 40 years. Is there like a crazy, crazy story that you can share?
Oh, I've got so many. I don't know. Try to help me out and give me a direction. What kind of story?
Let's see. How about something that happened on stage?
Oh, the funniest thing for me was what happened at Capitol Jazz. Capitol Jazz, I made my debut with Groove School at the Capitol Jazz competition back in 2006. And who was on that stage with me were people who I'm pretty sure you're familiar with. I had I went up against the Reagan Whiteside. I went up against Ken Ford. I went up against Matt Marshak. And I went up against a band called Sound Doctrine. And out of all these people, I know that Reagan, by the way, won that competition. Our judge was Kirk Whalum. So we were the guinea pigs of that competition because we immediately were thrown in as coming on first. And as you already know, if you're in a competition and you're first, you really have a lot to prove because they don't even have the sound system or the levels yet, you know. So we went on, we lost that competition, but what happened on stage was I split my pants.
I bent over
and split my pants, and I couldn't turn. I always like to, like, look at my drummer when I'm playing, or, you know, I really like to take as much space as possible. And back in those days, I really wasn't sitting on a stool. If you've seen any of my YouTube videos, I sit on a stool. I sit on a stool for two reasons. One, because I have a horrible back. I suffer from herniated disc and sciatica, and it's really messed me up in the past. And so in order for me to perform live, I have to actually space how long I stand up. But back then, in 2006, I didn't have those issues. So I would jump around on stage, and I jumped around and split my pants, man. And I was wearing, get this, Terry, I was wearing tidy whiteys with black slacks, right? I learned the lesson that they never wear white underwear with black pants. Okay? So the people in the front audience knew what was going on because, you know, my wife was in the front audience and I'm like looking at her and I'm like with my mouth, you know, wording, I split my pants. And she was like, oh my God. And there were guys next to her and they were going, please don't turn around. Please don't turn around. They were joking at me, you know. So that was pretty funny, actually. That's one of my funniest things I could think of as far as a live situation. Yes, that's funny.
Okay, and what has been the highlight of your career?
God, that's a tough question. That's really a tough question because personally speaking, I really, really felt that I just kept on scratching at the surface, trying to get people's attention with my music and my vision, and really not having the doors open for me. And so I just kept on pushing and pushing. And then, of course, as far as something of accomplishment, at first I always thought that playing with Roberta Flack back in 2000 in front of 30,000 people, yeah, that I couldn't beat that. That was like, you know, that was like really a top. I mean, because to me, 30,000 people means that I played in front of a bigger audience than a sold-out show at Madison Square Garden. So I really, really thought that was a big deal, you know. But I have to say now, looking back, that the biggest deal is definitely the fact that so many people are responding to my album, and I really dig that Jazz's magazine has given me a spotlight, and Dave Koz has given me a spotlight on his show. And even though, you know, they don't play my music on Watercolors, I think they think I'm too urban or I'm too eclectic, whatever the reasons are, you know. I'm really, really happy that I've reached this pinnacle in my career. There's no doubt about it. I'm thankful.
Are you working with someone, you know, like with someone to help you get your music out to radio?
I've hired reputable names in the business. I've hired Adam Leibovitz for the West Coast. I've hired the last one I've hired was Jason Goroff. I'm familiar with all the names. I know them. Some of them are. I have relationships with some of them. I don't. And Jason Goroff really made a big difference for me, you know. And I know a lot of people also invest in Sandy Shore and her platform, you know. So you know, Smooth Jazz Global. You know, you've got a lot of players out there, Terry.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, a lot of players, and also a lot of cheese. You've got to grill that cheese, man. You got to make that double stack, you know.
Well, you know, it's like you said, when the New York Jazz Station went off the air, all the stations followed after that. It was like a domino effect. I remember that. I remember that like it was yesterday because I was in shock. I was like, oh my gosh. And then they all just started shutting down. And to me, that was just like a blow to the genre, you know, and for the artists especially. And now very few jazz stations are out there, if any. And the college station, like our station here in Vegas, the college, we had a 24/7 jazz college station, and then they flipped formats. And so now we don't have a 24/7 jazz station anymore. And the genre is just being hit hard. And now with this COVID thing going on, and you know, these venues having to close for months, and some of them aren't even reopening. So that's not helping at all either. You know, so I hate that.
No, I hate it too. I'm very concerned. I mean, I know that there'll be plenty of people like us, like you and me, that will continue to keep it alive. But we do have the reality that once venues cannot afford to pay their light bills and their food bills and their workers and the insurance, once that is compromised, then you are going to be faced with the reality of what's happening now, which is the live streaming. And I'm not a big fan of it. I've done one Facebook live stream. It was in the comfort of my living room. I did it in my pajamas, my Batman pajamas, you know. It was really warm and invitational. And I told stories and played some of these songs, you know, for the Facebook audience. But unless you can really do this properly with a stage and lighting and a entertainment level, I'm just not the biggest fan of having to do that. I understand why people do it, and I understand that some people are making some kind of money, some people are making donations. You know, but still, in my opinion, there's nothing greater than a live show, especially a live presentation. You know, I mean, that there's nothing better than that to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I understand. I totally understand. All right. So I want to get into Spirit. That's another favorite track of mine on this CD. Tell me about this one.
This one was co-written by my brother, Christopher Valentine. And really, when he presented the song to me, I thought it was almost complete. I was like, man, there's really nothing I can do to this. This is such a beautiful song, you know. But he encouraged me, first of all, my family encouraged me to play the bass more as a lead instrument. And I don't know what it is, but my belief and my background, it might have something to do with me being a rocker, a classic rocker, you know, hard rocker. But I've always thought that the bass should be a supporting instrument. And when I write my music, when I come up with all my melodies, I usually give them to other instruments. I give them to the sax or the keyboards, or even the flute, you know, or vocals. I mean, but I don't give them to me. And my brother was like, you really have to write a beautiful bass melody to this song. So I wrote the melody to the song. And the great thing about this was the timing, was because the song was actually created back in 2017. But I had an issue with my health, and we had to put off releasing it, and we just left it in the vault, so to speak. And it took me about a year to get back to where I was, and then we worked on it again. And when we did work on it again, I asked Eddie Bacchus Jr., who loved and was crazy about the song, and he was like, I have to play on it. I have to play on it.
Yeah.
I already had Keith Anderson. I don't know if you're familiar with Keith L. Anderson, but he was my original sax player on the Groove School Band project, and I include him on recording endeavors. We're still friends. We've been friends for very, very long. So I try to keep him involved in my musical thing, my aspirations. And so I had him play the melody first, and then I laid my melody. But then Eddie went on top of Keith's melody and added something that wasn't there before. And then we added strings at the very end. My brother, Chris, added those beautiful strings at the very end, and the song felt right. And to me, it charted here in America at number 12 on Media Base. I really believe that it should have went further. It did go higher on the holiday charts, but it didn't do anything on Billboard, and I was really discouraged about how this song did not make it to places like Watercolors and Music Choice and the platforms. I think even Pandora turned it down. So it really interesting, Terry, on how people will acknowledge you or keep the door shut. And I didn't understand that with Spirit, because I thought Spirit was such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. So, thank you. So, you know, you could play it for your listeners and tell, you know, and I'm interested to know what Josh thinks about it, from my friend from Germany. I'm interested to know if he's still with us, if he's in the chat room.
Yes. Okay. All right, Josh. You're under pressure now, Josh. All right. The song is called Spirit, and it is from bassist Christian Day Masonis' release, They Call Me Big New York. Oh, what a beautiful song. That is Spirit from a Christian's debut release. They Call Me Big New York. Josh in Germany says, very nice.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Such a beautiful song. Such a beautiful song. So now, do you teach bass? Do you have students that you teach?
I've been teaching bass for 20 years now, a little bit over, but officially started when I moved to Washington, D.C. I had a job at, besides working in a record store, I had a job teaching at Mars Music in Springfield, Virginia. And I continue to teach at a location in Woodbridge at A to G Music, but they just closed down, and they closed down their doors because of COVID. They were directly affected by COVID. So what I'm doing now is I am going through all my books, and I mean, it's going to be somewhat of a process, but I'm going to start teaching online. I have one student that I teach online right now, and I really haven't put any attention into it, but I am writing some lesson plans for YouTube video clips, and you've got a thing outside the box. There's no doubt about it, and yeah. I don't even know if I'm going. I don't know, Terry, if I'm going back to my day job. I've been working for Prince William County Schools for 15 years, and I'm really like three years away from retirement, and I don't know if I'm going to make it because of COVID-19. I may not go back. So it's really, really a weird time. It's weird.
It really is. So now tell me about Bass Symphony. Is that part of the school?
No, Bass Symphony was something that I started, and I did actually, because of the students that I had at that time at A to G Music, this was around 2007, 2008, I had about 15 to 20 young students, and so I created a platform for them to play with a real band, with professional musicians, and I arranged songs and had them play in ensembles of three or four piece bass harmony. And it was a great thing, but I did not continue with it. I've been told I should. And you know what? I may go back to it. I tell my wife about it. But it's, you know what, Terry? Honestly, everything happens for a reason. And sometimes I think that if one of your goals goes on the shelf or whatever, something else is going to be produced. So it's an ebb and flow. So maybe I'll be able to concentrate on that, especially if I don't return to my day job. I'll concentrate on more of that. But, like, we don't know, Terry. We don't know what's going to happen with COVID-19. All we have to do is truly we are waiting for a vaccine. And then, of course, once the vaccine is presented, we have to wait about a year after that to make sure there's no side effects, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, so think about that. We have to start our timeline officially once a vaccine is presented to the public globally, you know? So,
yeah, yeah. the whole thing and the uncertainty of it all is just too much. You know, it's just too much.
It is.
All right, so let everyone know, if they order this CD from your website, what can they expect?
Well, the CD that you order from my website, it's a I put a lot of love in the CD itself and the production of it. It is a full-color 8-booklet CD that I'll personally autograph for you. And it's really goes back to when we were making really good CDs. I mean, you know, a lot of people kind of started being tight, you know, and just putting out what we like to call in the business, you know, soft copies, which is when you go to a place that runs off digital copies for like a dollar a copy or less, you know.
Okay.
But this is not that. This is a very well produced, very well packaged CD, and you'll get for $20. It's basically going to cost you $20 on my site directly. Now, if you don't feel comfortable about ordering from me directly. The only other way you can buy a physical CD, now Amazon stocks them through my distributor, CD Baby. They only stocked them at 4 copies at a time, and they sold out already. So I just sent the warehouse last week 4 more copies, and so you can order it from there if you feel more comfortable if you have an Amazon account. But if you order it directly from me, you know, I will sign it for you. I'll mail it for you. It'll be bubble wrapped. If you're in the States, it's 20. If you're in another country, it'll take longer. And it'll cost more money. It costs $35 because going to the post office and mailing anything, to Europe is longer and more expensive. You know, so just I put that out there because at first I was selling everything at $20, and then when I went to the post office, it cost me $15. Oh, I didn't make any money on this. So you know, that's how you can get it. You can get it on my website. My website is www.bignybassworld.com, or if you can't remember that, bignybass.com. I also have my name attached to it, but I'm not going to expect everybody to remember how to spell my last name. If you Google me up, you'll definitely be able to find it. And yes, you can always contact me via Facebook, inbox me. I use Facebook Messenger. If you're interested in ordering a copy and you have Cash App or Zelle or Venmo, I can give you that information personally. You know, the good thing about ordering from my website for me, though, is that I'm able to keep your emails in a file for me, and which means that when I release a remix, that I'm not putting anything behind as far as promotional behind. I just want to give it to a fan who really loves the music. They'll get a version that nobody has. You know, I do stuff like that for my fans. So, you know, I try to keep it interesting.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Do you have a favorite track on the CD?
Yes, I do.
And what is that?
It's called Hispanica.
Okay. So I will close the show with that. Tell me about this song.
Anytime I write a song that has a Latin flavor to it, it's me talking to my father in the supernatural, always trying to please him, you know. So this song was written with him in mind. It was also written at a time when I really personally felt that the Hispanic community was really getting crapped on. And I just really felt that the whole situation with DACA and the dream, you know, dreamers having to face deportation, having families being torn apart, children in cages, man, all of that made me ashamed of my country. And I don't want to be, I'm not going to get on a political soapbox with you, but at the time it really upset me. And so I wanted to write a song that would unify my community. And so I wrote the music to Hispanica, and then I presented it to Deborah Galán. I already heard her live. I believed in her talents and her ability, and I thought she could deliver. And she wrote the lyrics to that song. And it's uplifting. It's about the Hispanic, journey. And I don't know what to say, Terry. I am so proud of that song. That's really the best I could tell you. Yes.
And it's another beautiful track by Deborah. And she's also singing this in Spanish. So that makes it even, better. Yeah,
I agree.
Very nice.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, very nice. All right, so let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
I am everywhere. I don't know what's happening with Big New York. I think when you Google Big New York, sometimes you'll get to a travel agency or whatever. But if you type in, if you can't remember my last name, if you just put Christian Big New York, it'll probably show up if you Google me. But I have Facebook page. I have multiple Facebook pages. I have a Twitter account, Big NY Bass. I have Instagram, and my Instagram account is my full name, Christian Damasonis. Basically, I'm really my favorite platform is Facebook. I pretty much have devoted all my energy into Facebook. I'm on all these platforms, but if you really want to get in touch with me, just inbox me on Facebook, and I will definitely respond to you. I also have a Facebook page called Big New York itself, and so you can find me there.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Christian, it has been such a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully it won't be another 10 years before we get to chat again. But I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
And I just wanted to share before I go that being on your show to me is a cap, you know, a feather in my cap, so to speak. You have a great reputation. You've been doing things for the smooth jazz community for many, many years. You're surrounded by the shakers and the movers of this industry, people that care about this music. And I feel honored. I was easy on you, Terry, because I really was going to give it to you, to be honest with you. But you were such a joy to speak with, and I'm going to have to send you heavy metal albums for you to learn the history of heavy metal. Maybe I'll mail you a book so you can study all the bands in alphabetical order. You need to know the difference between AC/DC and the Scorpions. I bet you probably don't even know those two bands.
No comment. No comment.
Oh
no comment.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, this conversation and the one we had yesterday about the silver is just, it was magic. I just loved it. I enjoyed that conversation so much. Thank you. Thank you.
To share with your listeners, we were talking about beard dye. And everybody, especially friends of mine who are, you know, who are just coming back into contact with me after 40 years or 30 years, they go, "Oh my God, Christian, you look great. You know, I can't believe how good you look." And, you know, I tell everybody, well, you know, if I put a hat on, dark glasses, and some beard dye, I could stay in my 40s, you know, and they're all laughing because anybody who knows me knows I'm going to be 60. I'm not too far from. I'm right around the corner from being 50, and I'm blown away by that. I'm doing what I'm doing at this time in my life. You know.
Well, I still think you should let the silver come through. It's just part of life, and it's the privilege. You know, just let it come through, and you'll be fine. And by silver, I mean, let the gray come through on the beard. Just let the gray. This is what we were talking about yesterday, listeners, because he was talking about dyeing his beard. I'm like, just let the silver come through. Just let the gray come in. You'll be fine.
Okay,
that was a great conversation. I had so much fun with you yesterday talking about that. That was great. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so now what's on my agenda now is I'm going to release a heavy metal album called Chrome Dome. It's going to be called Chrome Dome, and the title of the album is going to be called All Hail Silver. I'm going to give you a credit on the album, man. You're going to have to get a songwriting credit somewhere. I don't know what it's going to be, but
there you go. Yeah, see? That'll work. That will work. All right. So Joshin says, "I can only agree to everything Christian said about the show." Thank you, Joshin. You're so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Christian. Well, you have a great day. Stay safe out there and, you know, try and stay encouraged with the music and all that. And hopefully things will turn around because this genre, smooth jazz, is my favorite genre. And I for one, do not want to see it go away. So hopefully, you know, it can get saved somehow, some way.
Well, please don't leave us. You know, do your best. If you you really physically feel that you can't go on, try to find somebody to carry on your torch. Do you have any children?
I do, but she's not into jazz.
What is she like?
Oh, she's more. There you go. She's more into like hip hop and R&B, and you know, she's not into jazz. So.
Oh, you know what? When you talk to her, tell her that you had a guest on your show that used to be Notorious B.I.G.'s bodyguard. I was his bodyguard for a show in Richmond in 1998 with Junior Mafia with Little Kim.
Wow,
so
really?
So you mentioned that to her, and she'll go, "Oh, really?" And then she'll be interested in what you're talking about.
Since you mentioned that, have you seen DJ Cassidy's Pass the Mic 2, Volume 2, where he has all of these hip-hop legends singing on it? You got to check it out. It's really, really good. It's really good.
Where is it on? Is it on television? Where is it? How do I get it?
DJ Cassidy, I will tag you in it. Yes, I will tag you
okay.
in it. So you can watch that. Really good. All right. All right. Thank you again. I'm going to go ahead and close the show so we can get this song in. Thank you again, Christian. I really appreciate you coming on and giving me a chance to speak with you. Joshin and Cool Jazz Cafe, Dave Oz and Ollie, thank you all for hanging out in the chat room as well. My name is Terry, AKA the Jazz Queen. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz, and I look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again next time. From Christian's new release, They Call Me Big New York, this is Hispanica with Deborah Galen on vocals. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Follow the Jazz Queen on Twitter at @Jazz_Queen, on Facebook and Instagram at Talking Smooth Jazz, and visit the website TalkingSmoothJazz.com.
Are you still there?